We're joined by Katie Schaefer, who is the Director of Advocacy and Organizing for the Center for Community Alternatives. And along with Citizen Action, they recently released a report, Sending New Yorkers to Jail, Police Unions, Campaign Contributions, and the Political Fight to Roll Back Bail Reform. And I will mention that bail reform is one of these issues that sort of everybody's celebrated as a big victory, an important victory, and almost immediately the effort to change it began. But can you give us an overview of what was the report about?
So the report was about exactly what you've said, that in New York State there was a crisis of money bail and pretrial jailing. Every day there were 16,000 New Yorkers in jail overwhelmingly because they could not afford bail. And we fought to have bail reform legislation passed that passed in 2019 and was implemented on January 1st of 2020. And in lead up to that implementation and then at an even more fevered pitch following the implementation, we saw police unions and prosecutors take the lead on a political fight to roll back the legislation, that they wanted the power to jail New Yorkers pretrial, and that they leveraged both their political clout, their close ties to media, who will report on what police say, in order to further their efforts to have this legislation rolled back. And while grassroots organizers and advocates were able to stave off some of the worst rollbacks, some rollbacks did pass as part of the state budget on April 1st. And this report is an effort to explain some of the ways that police unions wield power in opposition to progressive or decarceral change. And one of those ways is through political contributions to elected officials who then make laws.
Now, your report looks at contributions, you know, particularly to the state legislature, but I was also struck by the amount of money that Governor Cuomo got, about $703,000 since 2010, and around $86,000 just from November 2018. How does Cuomo explain that enormous amount of money? Why did police unions feel, you know, they had to dump that much money? And to a guy who had, what, $30, $40, $50 million already in campaign contributions?
So he did not, in the newspaper stories that came out following the report, explain that. I think from the police union's perspective, donating money to the governor is a worthwhile political investment. The legislators who did respond to media inquiries all said, well, we took hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that doesn't influence our votes on legislation. And I think, frankly, that's hard to believe.
Now, one thing you point out in your report is that the six Democratic senators from Long Island got around $131,000. Of course, the state Senate just went Democrat after many, many years of being controlled by the Republicans, and sort of the suburban communities are seen as the one place that possibly the Republicans might have a chance to possibly regain the Senate. How did those Democratic senators stand on the bail reform issue?
So the six senators from Long Island really led the efforts to roll back bail reform from a political perspective. They not only sort of were complicit in it, which is true of some of these other elected, but they really demanded rollbacks to bail reform. So much so that Senator Monica Martinez said that she would not vote for a budget if it did not include rollbacks to bail reform. While correlation is not causation, the correlation certainly tracks that these senators who voted to roll back bail reform took really disproportionate amounts of police union money. And it is therefore unsurprising that they were highly responsive to police union demands to roll back this legislation.
Now, of course, the whole effort about police reform has picked up tremendous momentum, particularly since the murder of George Floyd. And the legislature, you know, did pass a number of serious, significant reforms, you know, recently on police. You know, how do you see the police campaign contributions moving forward, and what will be some of the key issues that groups like yours, you know, hope to see on the stand of legislatures coming back in a few weeks?
So we have seen remarkable action by New Yorkers across the state demanding the end to racist state-sanctioned violence. And out of that came the repeal of 50A, a law that was used to hide police misconduct records. But we see anti-Black state violence pervades the policing system, the court system, the jail, and the prison system. And so we have been calling on the state legislature to pass a slate of bills that includes parole justice legislation so that Black elders do not continue to die in prison. That includes ending solitary confinement, which is a form of torture that Black and Brown New Yorkers in jails and prisons are disproportionately subject to. That includes repealing the walking while trans ban. This is a provision of the penal code, loitering for the purposes of prostitution, which is disproportionately used to criminalize and harass Black and Brown trans women. And then Protect Our Courts, which is legislation that would prohibit ICE arrests in and around courthouses that are used to terrorize immigrant communities accessing court. And so this is a slate of bills that we see as being sort of on the road to justice that would begin to dismantle some parts of this much larger system of racist state violence.
So in the last 2 minutes, I'll ask you maybe a multiple part question. You know, what can individuals do at this point if they want to help, you know, with the police reform agenda? How can they get more information? And are there, you know, any reforms that you're looking for in terms of trying to reduce the, you know, impact of campaign contributions on our state elected officials?
So in the report, we make a set of recommendations. Some of those recommendations are geared towards providing Black and Brown communities who have been disproportionately targeted by systems of mass incarceration to expand their political power and their political voice. So that includes expanding voting rights so that we do not disenfranchise incarcerated and formerly incarcerated people, that the history of doing so is rooted in racist legacies designed to deny Black people the right to vote. It also includes recommendations to end big money in politics, for there to be a small donor matching system that includes district attorneys and the governor to upend the pay-to-play culture in Albany. And then the recommendations are also then specific to the kinds of decarceral legislation that bail reform is one of, and that includes sort of protecting pretrial liberty. Some have framed that as rolling back the rollbacks, and it also includes other efforts to dismantle these systems of state violence.
Well, we want to thank Katie Schaefer for joining us, Director of Advocacy and Organizing for the Center for Community Alternatives, and this is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.